there, for she soon found that her partner's ideas of waltzing were as archaic as their conversation was limited. It was indeed this fondness for the inglenook that had earned her the name of Cinderella. One day, when she was in the middle of a delightful story, her mother came in suddenly and cried, "Cinderella, why aren't you resting as I told you? You know we are going to the hog bins tonight." "Oh, mother," pleaded Cinderella, "need I go to the dance?" "Don't be so absurd. Of course you're going, but I've got nothing to wear." "I've told Jennings what you're to wear. Now go and lie down. I want you to look your best tonight, because I hear that young Mr. Hogbin is back again from Australia." Young Mr. Hogbin was not the king's son. He was the son of a wealthy gelatin manufacturer. "Then may I come away at 12? Begged Cinderella. "You'll come away when I tell you." Cinderella made a face and went upstairs. "Oh dear," she thought to herself, "I wish I were as old as my two sisters and could do what I liked. I'm sure if my godmother were here, she would get me off going." But alas, her godmother lived at Leamington, and Cinderella, after a week at Leamington, had left her there only yesterday. Cinderella indeed looked beautiful as they started for the ball, but her mother, who held a review of her in the drawing room, was not quite satisfied. "Cinderella," she said, "you know I said you were to wear the silver slippers." "Oh, mother, they are so tight," pleaded Cinderella. "Don't you remember I told you at the time they were much too small for me?" "Nonsense. Go and put them on at once." The dance was in full swing when Cinderella arrived. Although her lovely appearance caused several of the guests to look at her, they did not ask each other eagerly who she was, for most of them knew her already as Miss Partington Smith. A brewer's son led her off to dance. The night wore on slowly. One young man after another trod on Cinderella's toes, trotted in circles round her, ran her violently backwards into some other man, or swooped with her into the fireplace. Cinderella, whose feet seemed mechanically to adapt themselves to the interpretation of the waltz that was forming in her clumsy dancing partner's mind, bore it from each one as long as she could, and then led the way to a quiet corner, where she confessed frankly that she had not bought all her Christmas presents yet, and that she was going to Switzerland for the winter. The gelatin manufacturer's son took her in to supper. It was noticed that Cinderella looked much happier as soon as they had sat down, and indeed throughout the meal she was in the highest spirits. For some reason or other, she seemed to find even Mr. Hogbin endurable. But just as they were about to return to the ballroom, an expression of absolute dismay came over her face. "Anything the matter?" said her partner. "No," said Cinderella. But she made no effort to move. "Well, shall we come?" "Yes." She waited a moment longer, dropped her fan under the table, picked it up slowly, and followed him out. "Let's sit down here," she said in the hall, "not upstairs." They sat in silence, for he had exhausted his stock of questions at the end of their first dance, and had told her all about Australia during supper, while she apparently had no desire for conversation of any kind, being wrapped up in her thoughts. "I'll wait